Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Rossi. With me this week, as always and every week, which is great because that means I know who they are and I'm not constantly surprised, are my two wonderful co-hosts, Liz Harper and Joe Perez. Why don't you guys say hi to everybody?
Howdy.
Hi, I'm surviving under a mountain of plastic.
Yes, he is surviving under a mountain of plastic. But we don't need to actually explain what that means or give people any context whatsoever. Instead, let's talk about getting your epic purple shirt in World of Warcraft, because you have 2 days, I think, because today is the 26th.
Today is the 27th.
Oh my god.
What is time?
Is the 27th. The purple shirt transmog you can get from Amazon Prime Gaming is available through the 28th. And on the 29th, it will switch over to a mount, which I forget the name of.
Swift Shore Strider mount, according to your email?
Yes.
Yes, it's like, what do you call them? It's the ostrich
bird.
Things.
Yeah, it's a bird.
Yeah.
It's like, if you played a Blood Knight.
It's a chocobo. Elf, let's call it what it is.
It's, okay. I thought it was more like the ones in Mulgore, which are something different because they don't have feathers in the same way.
It might be, but even then it's still a big bird mouth. So
it is. Okay.
It's the same skeleton.
Big bird mouth. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a crane either, but while we're talking about that, the next thing we're going to talk about is probably Hearthstone related anyway. So we're going to talk about all the Hearthstone stuff kind of going at once, because we've got a new announcement from today, I think, about the next expansion, which is Hearthstone Titans. I don't know exactly what that means other than it's going to be Titan themed. Like, I'm assuming it's going to have cards. Like, there's a picture of a card of Ianar here, so I'm assuming we're going to have Titans as minions, and I'm going to assume they're relatively expensive because she's a 10. Yeah, she's a 10 on her little, I forget what that's called, 10 points? Like what?
Mana. It's 10 mana. Yeah, that's an expensive card.
So initially, Titans can attack each turn. There's a lot of interesting stuff here about how these cards are going to play and how they're going to change the game around. It looks to be an interesting expansion. There's new keywords as well. Keyword Magnetic is coming back. I actually remember that one. So, you know, that's not bad. Liz, do you have anything you want to talk about on this one before we move on to talk about other stuff?
I mean, I think it's cool that they're going into this Titan theme kind of the same time we're really in World of Warcraft kind of looking back and talking about Tyr a lot. So it's interesting that I always love Hearthstone's kind of weird mirror universe of World of Warcraft. And it's interesting when you can kind of look at them side by side. We have not seen all the cards for this expansion yet, but we are getting these special Titan cards, which I believe there's one for each class. I love New Hearthstone expansion time, but it is kind of, it's very cyclical. You get a new Hearthstone expansion, it's okay. There's going to be 145 new cards, and we're going to get some new keywords, and we're going to get some new card types, and then we're going to do it all again in 3 months.
I'm just interested in the fact that they're going to have 11 Titans.
Listen, I'm just jealous you get to wait 3 months.
Well, just 11 Titans, that's like twice the amount we have in World of Warcraft right now. So they're actually, some of these aren't canonical to WoW, like they mentioned Amidus. I'm interested to see them, and I'm interested to see if later on they show up. We haven't gotten a lot of stuff coming to WoW from Hearthstone, but we have had a few things. We had
a few things.
Yeah, I remember there was stuff in Un'Goro that came over. I think the Tartolan were pretty heavily in Hearthstone before they made it the jump to WoW.
Yes,
I'm not sure if they were in before WoW.
Before they were featured in Battle for Azeroth, yes, they were in Hearthstone mainly first. We had a couple Tortolans here and there, but that's where they really got their time to shine. The time to shine. Wow.
Time to shine, baby.
There are a few characters scattered around Dragonflight, which were originally in Hearthstone, like AFK, capital A, capital K. AF and then KKAY as a name, who's a character in Hearthstone Battlegrounds, is I think she's in that kind of Black Dragonflight area in it is fun to see what cross pollinates between these things.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see if any of this stuff comes through, because it would have pretty big implications. But right now
you never know with Hearthstone.
Yep. But we should probably also talk about the Twist beta, because you mentioned that in the email, which, you know, thank you. I didn't know about it. The beta season is going to be ending in less than a week. It ends on July 1st, and then today is the 27th, as you pointed out.
July 1st is Saturday, so it launched today.
And it ends Saturday.
Yeah, so... I find it kind of weird that they decided to do this such a short little season. I mean, Hearthstone Twist, I believe we talked about this last week, is just a new constructed game mode that has special rules. And in this case, the rule is that you cannot use any neutral cards in your deck. You can only use class cards. So that it does shake it up in some interesting ways. I tried to play it a little bit this afternoon. It's pretty fun. I didn't think it felt super different from just playing regular constructed, but it's kind of a nice change of pace. But it's also, they're throwing this out, and then in just a few days, it's like this season of testing is over. And I'm not sure actually if they're going to, are we going to go right into another season? Are we going to do more testing, or what's happening? What are you getting out of these like 3-4 days of testing?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, are they doing it to test, you know, how it plays? Are they doing it to test stability? Like, you know, they might be just trying to see if they can have it up and ready to go. Because we don't know when this is going live, do we?
No, not for real live, but...
Yeah, so they could be a lot of things they're looking to figure out. But in addition to that, let's see if there's anything else Hearthstone-y to mention. No, I think we're pretty done on Hearthstone. Oh, no, here we go. On July 1st and July 2nd, there's going to be 24 hours of Hearthstone Twitch drops, which is 11 free packs to earn by watching Hearthstone on Twitch.
It's just a lot.
Are you supposed to watch 24 hours of Hearthstone? I got to ask you that before we move on.
No, it's just like over 24 hours, but you do need to watch a lot of hours. Hearthstone has been doing lately like very short drop windows, but with like a lot of things you can earn. The last window they did was only a day or two also, and this one's like literally 24 hours. So they're really trying to push you to be like staring at your computer screen watching a lot of Hearthstone. I don't know, free packs though. Free packs are free packs. I'm into
11
it.
Of them if you watch Hearthstone on Twitch.
11 of them.
That's a lot of Hearthstone. Okay. Okay, we covered that. Yeah, we should probably talk about this one too. We also know that in terms of watching Twitch to get drops of stuff, this week the Diablo 4 one continues with Barbarian stuff. Last week was Druids, I believe, if Joe was to be trusted. He usually is, unless he's plotting.
Occasionally.
But yeah. So that's if you're trying to get those drops. It's 3 hours of watching various Diablo 4 Twitch streams. Am I correct on this?
It's 3 hours. There are two pieces you can collect. It's 3 hours for the first one and 3 hours for the second one. So 6 hours in total.
Okay.
For It's a weapon recolor and then a back cosmetic of some kind.
Neat. I don't got much else to say on that one, guys. Watch Diablo 4 stuff on Twitch. Get stuff.
Can't go wrong with transmog. Yeah. Can't go wrong in any game.
Speaking of not going wrong with transmog, the trading post rewards for World of Warcraft for July were revealed, I think, today, if not today, yesterday. Time is melting.
Today.
It's
true. It's true.
But there's some interesting stuff in here. First off, apparently the month, like if you pull off the whole month, like if you do all enough stuff in the month, you get a new dragon riding mount. Or I'm not sure if it's an appearance for a currently existing dragon riding mount or a whole new one. Do we know? Like, do we have any idea?
It looks like a new mount. Yeah. They didn't really give us details on like, oh, is this just a skin or an appearance, or is this just a whole new mount? It looks like a new mount.
Yeah, it's a Nether Drake.
Which is super cool.
The Grotto Nether Drake or something. Also, I mean, Joe, there's a new fist weapon.
I know.
The Fists of Polar Fury.
So yeah, I know.
You shaman should be looking for that. A lot of stuff here. A really nice shield. Really nice looking black mace thing. Actually, it's kind of a purple color.
The ensemble this month is actually, in my opinion, better than the last 2 months ensemble that's been out. Because the last 2 months ensemble has been a little... It's been like, you have a hood, you don't have a hood, which is great. But this is like a full set of leathers.
Yeah. It is the Sylvan Stalker's leathers.
Yeah.
And it looks very similar to rogue sets I've seen before. I can't tell you if it's a specific one. It probably is. I'm not an expert on that.
The big thing that we should probably talk about are the two pet and the one of the two mounts that'll be available for purchase with points. So I guess Matt's going to be quiet here, so I'm going to keep going. the Spectral Tiger Club is Tiger Club Cub. Tiger Cub, which was
don't a club tigers guys
don't do it. But it was originally a TCG only item, is now going to be in the shop for 750 whatever the coin and is.
Traders tender.
And then Tyrael's chart. I've been playing Zelda, okay? then Tyrael's charger, which was a shop/promotion item from way back when. I want to say Wrath-ish.
It was
with the Diablo 3 launch.
Diablo 3 launch.
2012.
But it was also available as a drop when the Treasure Goblin event was going on in WoW. You could get it off a Treasure Goblin. So, yeah, that one's been all over the place.
And then there's another one that's going to be available, which is a recolor of the Amber Scorpion from the Dread Wastes? Yeah, from the Klaxi, the Awakener. It's the Reigns of the Fell Crystal Scorpion, which is very, very green. I don't know how I feel about that. Because it is very green.
There's also some good plain old cosmetic transmog awards. For example, ones that I'm going to mention here, the ones I was mentioning, but I'm going to mention this one. Conquest, which is a two-handed sword that if you've never seen it, it looks like Armageddon from Naxxramas. Go look that up if you don't know what I'm talking about. It is a large two-handed sword with a lot of leather wrapped around it and several joints in it that don't make any sense. It is beautiful and I love it, but it can be tricky to get, and they've put this model back into the game several times now. Like this model is actually a drop in Shadowlands. There's a weapon that drops that has this model, and now they've made it gettable from the trading post. So it's actually not terribly expensive in terms of its cost. It is 600 traders tender, which is, you know, and it's a slightly nicer color. Like it's a light blue as opposed to the sort of gray and ominous look that the original has. So yeah, there's that kind of thing. There's the Transmog Ensemble that Joe mentioned, which is apparently a green recolor of a Legion PvP set, now that I'm reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's interesting. There's other even cheaper ones. Like there's two ensembles that are basically just 100 traders tender for hood and cloak transmogs. The Fist of Polar Fury is a 175 traders tender,
and it's a recolor.
It's a recolor of pride. The Sinister Fell Staff, that's a staff transmog at all, which is basically Goldon's walking stick. Mephistroth's Razor is they just call it a 1H sword transmog. It happens to be a 1H sword transmog of a model that originally dropped in Burning Crusade from the Mount Hyjal raid. It is a purplish, I guess, even more evil recolor of that. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff here.
There's always interesting stuff, but I think everyone's just really excited to see new dragon riding mounts, and we just got a new dragon riding mount in patch 10.1, which doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
Because it wasn't. We're going to be getting 10.1.5 this month coming, right?
Yes.
In the middle of this month coming, they're also going to get another patch. Yeah. What is
so
time?
Much?
Yeah.
So much happening.
But if you look at the original Blizz article, they don't specify if this is a skin or if it's a new mount or what. They're actually calling it the Grotto Netherwing Drake mount. That's what they're calling it. So it sounds like it's a new mount. It doesn't sound like it's a skin for an existing mount.
And the skeleton of it doesn't exactly match our existing dragon riding mounts. So it really does look like something brand new. Very interesting.
Yeah. What do you guys think of it? I mean, I think it's kind of an interesting kind of like light greenish color to it. Maybe slate gray would be a better term. Are you looking forward to dragon riding around on it?
Oh, I will. I'm absolutely going to. I also think it's interesting that we're getting another Drake mount, because we were talking about, where are the Nether Drakes? When are they going to come back? And this might be a precursor to maybe seeing more of them in the future. This is me pulling, you know, speculation out of a mount, because why not?
Because, you know, frankly, we'd like this to happen. So
And it wouldn't be the first time.
No, it wouldn't. I mean, they've also been supposedly reworking the Heart of the Aspects mount to be a dragon riding mount or a dragon riding skin. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with dragon riding. Apparently they've been working on new stuff for it this whole time. Liz, did you have something? I thought I might have interrupted you.
I love the Nether Drakes, and I ground out that whole Nether Drake quest to buy all of the Nether Drake mounts way, way back in Burning Crusade when it was like horrible. It was so horrible.
Yes, it was not good.
Yeah, now you can just do it like if it's a time walking weekend, you can just go and like do it in like a day or something. But way back then,
I remember walking. Every Naxx run we would do, there would be that egg that would drop off of a Nether Spite, and my God,
Karazhan
over that thing. Yes, Karazhan. Sorry, and everybody would fight up over that thing. Like, just, you know, the entire raid, that thing would drop, and everybody would be way more interested in that egg than they were in anything that Nether Spite actually dropped.
good times. All of that, the WoW's original dragon races back grinding for your Netherwing mount. And now we're getting a new Netherwing mount.
Maybe that means we're getting new dragon riding races out in TBC content.
I mean, we know they're doing the Kalimdor Grand Prix in 10.1.5. So we're going to get some dragon racing content out there. It would be really cool to see them go back to Outlands and rig up some new dragon races for us back in the old Netherwing area. That would be cool. I really hope they do that. Now that you've said that, now I'm going to pin all of my hopes on this one little thing that you've speculated about. And when it doesn't happen, I'm going to be really sad.
You raised your hopes and then dashed them quite expertly, sir. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. And that leads me to talk about something else that's pretty cool. A lot of Diablo 4 patch notes dropped today, and they've already have been hot fixed into the game. Like I got a download when I logged on, and there's a ton of stuff happening here. Like a lot of it was just straight up dungeon fixes, bug fixes, things like that. But some of it is just straight up changes. The local co-op changes, a lot of issues fixed. Quests, again, it's a lot of fixed, you know, stuff fixed, UI fixes, but they've changed a lot of leveling stuff. For example, experience rewards significantly increased the experience awarded for completing nightmare dungeons, significantly increased the experience gained from killing monsters in nightmare dungeons. You were saying, Liz?
We did know that was happening, though. That a lot of this came up in the live stream they did the week before last.
Yeah.
And they said they didn't intend people to level by chain running normal dungeons, which is what was happening. People were finding like the most efficient normal dungeons to run for experience, and they would do those over and over and over and over again. And that wasn't what Blizzard intended to be, this chain grind. So they were intended to try and make nightmare dungeons more appealing, because nightmare dungeons add random affixes. They help you level up your glyphs. And that seems like it was kind of what Blizzard intended us to be doing at endgame, but instead people were just running normal dungeons. So now they're giving more experience, and you can also teleport directly to them, so you don't wind up having to run all over the map and spend half of your game riding from dungeon to dungeon. You can just go there and do the dungeon.
I've got several sigils that I haven't used because I don't know exactly where the dungeon is. It's kind of like, I know I've been here, but where is it again? So yeah, that'll be nice. But also, Helltide chests now provide substantially more bonus experience when opened. So if you're running through the Helltide and you pop open like I've got 90, whatever the things are called, the corrupted ashes or whatever.
So many things with such similar names.
Yeah, but you've got like, I got 92 of them, and there's a 75 chest over here, and I've only got 2 minutes. Yeah, I should go click that. You'll get a bump of experience. The experience that you were getting for doing that will be higher. The more bonus experience when you open them. Also, they're significantly increasing the rewarded experience from completing individual whispers across the board. So when you're going around doing the one or three whisper, the dark favor deals. When you're doing the grim favors and you do one that rewards one grim favor, it'll give more experience now. And finally, this one is an issue fix, but it's a good issue fix. Fixed an issue where no experience was awarded for completing the holdout style event that can occur after finishing dungeon objectives. And that's good because that's annoying, quite frankly. There was quite a lot of that I did not like. And they've also changed a lot of classes. Like, there's a lot of stuff, if you go and look at the various balance changes, classes are getting a lot. I'll go look at, say, Druids, because, you know, I know Joe cares about Druids. Looking at all the various things here. For instance, the base damage of Earth Spike has gone from 16% to 17%. Spirit Generation increased from 10 to 11. And Fierce Earth Spike Fortify increased from 4% to 8%. So that, then it goes on, like Wind Shear got a slight buff.
Every class. They're just, it's a big balance pass. Yeah. They're doing a big balance pass. They're adjusting things up and down. And they're definitely trying to... It feels like they're definitely trying to give us more rewarding things to do at endgame. Yep. Because I know both you and me, Matt, have felt like the game slows down a lot. You get into your 50s, 60s, 70s.
Oh, it definitely does. Day,
yeah.
Yeah.
The other day when I was trying to get to 75, and it was like I couldn't for various reasons. Like, for instance, like I'd find a dungeon that had like, you know, go do this and get 5 grim favors, and it would take me just long enough to get through it that I'd have to stop and go do something in my real life. And then I'd have to go find another dungeon, but it has to at least give me half an hour to finish this thing. You know, I can't do it in 20 minutes. And it was just like, oh Lord, every Paragon point I'm getting is like agony, cause it feels like it's taking forever. And then they had the server issues cause they were getting DDoS'd. So I couldn't log on to finish when I had like, so I had like 20,000 XP left and I couldn't get on to get it. And I was like, So yeah, it's definitely something. I haven't actually been doing a lot of nightmare dungeons because it's like, you look at the affixes and you look at, you know, you can die 4 times. I'm like, I can die 4 times doing a normal sometimes, you know, like you're telling me I'm going to die. If I die 4 times, I'm done. Yeah. That's strict.
Up in Act 4. World Tier 4, can get really easy to die just in normal dungeons. I was really enjoying Nightmare Dungeons on World Tier 3, but I haven't tried any in World Tier 4 because, as you say, it's very easy to die in a...
Yeah, it is.
World Tier 4 just feels weird to me. Like, I'll go into a dungeon... Harder.
It's because of the weird thing where, like, they can ignore 40% of your various resistances.
Mm-hmm.
And it just means that you just take more damage no matter what you do. So you have to kind of like always be on, do I have a button for this? Do I have to hit a potion? I got a pants, like one of the random affixes to my pants is that they added 5 potion slots. So instead of like 9, I have like 14. And I don't know how I'm going to go back to not having like to only having 9 because I used all 14 the other day. And I was like, oh my God. You know, there's just a lot of splash damage, and it's like, it comes down to, do they have the things that can really mess you up? Like, can they freeze you in place? If they have a freeze and they can hit you with it, you can literally be standing there trying to get out, trying to hit buttons. Nothing is working. And if they hit you again and freeze you again, that's it. You're done. You're just going to die now. And the bigger a track is, the more easily that can happen.
I find it interesting that when I'm playing a dungeon in tier four, world tier four, it's not the boss that's a problem. It's never the boss.
No.
You will fight through that dungeon. It's like blood, sweat, and tears. You've died like five times because of the packs of elites with different affixes and everyone.
The fact that some of your abilities go through walls and pull next rooms over. Yeah.
And you're just fighting these packs of elites and it's a murder. And then you get to the boss and it's like, that didn't even feel like trash fight. It's so simple because it doesn't feel like the bosses have scaled up at all. I mean, absolutely. I'm sure they have. I'm sure they do more damage, but they don't feel it doesn't add as much complexity as just adding additional elites with additional like affixes. Yeah,
because you can end up in a situation where you're fighting like three trash mobs, and then all of a sudden there's like six elites, each that have like multiple, and if they have vampiric on them. Oh my, like to die. Vampiric is the worst thing ever because they will go to full health if they hit you once. They will go to full health. And it's like, this guy is never going to die. I'm never going to kill this guy.
The one I have trouble with is there's a fire one where they shoot out a fireball thing in three directions from them.
Mm-hmm.
And
it changes which three directions.
It changes directions. I got one of those that was a teleporter and he would follow me around and teleport right next to me and then shoot off a fireball and get like a third of my health. And, you know, if I'm in a group that has two of those, then there's no way to dodge two of them, three of them sometimes.
Yeah. It's like, if you don't have the ability to drop something that will just say, I don't take damage right now, then you are going to go down.
And it takes a lot of time to kill them because everything has more health and you're doing less damage to it.
You talked about bosses. Here's a really good example of that. Mm-hmm. Today, while I was just testing out the patch before I came on, I was doing, what's the name of that dungeon? It doesn't matter which dungeon it was. It's one of the desert ones. One of the ones that's an archive. I was doing one of the ones in Kedjistan that's a desert with an archive. And I'm running around and I cleared a room. And then as I'm going to the next room, I hear the chain sound and realize it's the butcher. So I don't go in immediately and let him come out. No, he's nothing. He is nothing to me.
Wow.
I have no trouble with him. And you know why I don't have any trouble with him? My chest plate gives me 10,000 thorns. He kills himself hitting me. But if he'd had even one trash with him, I would have run away. Like if they pulled out with him, because while I'm fighting him, I can't have one of those teleporting mage dudes popping around, freezing me in place. Then I'm done. I'm done if I get frozen once with the butcher hitting him. Because the only way I'm getting through it is every time he starts to wind up on me, I hit iron skin and I don't take the damage. But he does. He hurts himself. But if I can't do that just because some guy froze me once or made me run away in terror, you know, like the fear thing they put on the ground and you blow up.
Oh, yeah, that's rough.
Do anything like that and he's going to just kill me in three hits. So it's easy, but it's active in a way that I never really had in Diablo 3. And it's something I find interesting about this game. Diablo 3, when you get to a certain power level, you didn't even care. You would just march through things. With this, even when you know, oh, I can take this guy, it's not a problem, you still need to be on the ball with your abilities. And sometimes with the trash, you got like, I've seen 30 trash pulls, like a solid 20 of it was practically nothing. But if you got five elites with a whole ton of little guys, the elite do their various thing to you. And then the ton of little guys just starts hitting you over and over again. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to be dead before I can hit a potion. I'm just, there's no way. I don't know how I'm getting through this pull.
See, I love those pulls, and I love those pulls because I'm playing Earthbear Pulverize, and I love them. The more stuff that's there, the faster it dies for me. Love it.
I mean,
I've seen people like I watched a level 90 druid pull like that in the outside world and get destroyed. And he was doing Pulverize. He was a big bear. No, sometimes you'll run into this. You will hit this. Are you doing Torment yet?
Not yet.
When you hit Torment, you will adjust.
Oh, yeah.
You will
the number adjust. The number of elites in an area has just skyrocketed in this difficulty. And all of their if you get a combination of affixes that is particularly bad, it will just melt you so fast. It feels like such a big difficulty jump.
Yeah, I'm only, like I said, I only managed to get 76 like this week. And I'm only just starting to feel like I can handle things. And even then, like I said, one bad move and I'm done. So yeah, it is. But I'm interested in these changes. I think that a lot of them are good. The bug fixes are, of course, good. You should always do bug fixes. But I also like the balance pass. I like that everybody got something. I like it when they do that, as opposed to like some classes get something and some classes get nothing. I like that they did something for every class. And most of it seems to be positive. Like, I was looking at the Necromancer stuff and I didn't see any nerfs. And if they're going to nerf a class, it would be Necromancers.
Why would they nerf Necromancers? We're so weak and powerless. Why would you want to harm us, sweet Necromancers?
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, there's like the spiked hour the spiked armor ability went up. There's just a lot of good stuff here for every class. So I'm really happy about it. My druid is going to get played more because I'm loving what they did with Lightning Storm. They made Enhanced Lightning Storm 6 seconds up from 4, and Primal Lightning Storm's chance to immobilize is increased to 12%. It was 8%. That's super sweet. That is beautiful. I love that. But that's basically it for news. Do you guys have something else we haven't covered?
Well, there was a big Hearthstone Battlegrounds patch today, but I don't know enough about it to talk about it, which is why I did not drag it up earlier.
Yeah, we can mention it's there.
Yeah, it's there.
Hearthstone just decided to say, okay, everything going on, we're going to do it all today, right now.
Okay, but I think at this point we're going to move on to do some emails. I'm going to ask Joe for a favor because I'm having really bad eyes today. Do you mind reading them all, Joe?
Yeah, sure, not a problem. All right, let's start with the first one, which comes from our friend 6K. Oh, actually, no, let me do the spiel. Let me do the spiel to help out here. If you have questions for this or any of our podcasts, be sure to send those in to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. You can go ahead and specify what show it's for so that Matt and I don't have to fight over them. If you want to hit us up on our Discord server, you can do so. We have two channels set aside, one for everyday use, which is our Q and podcast questions channel. And then one is a way of saying thank you to our Patreon supporters. It's the Patreon Q and podcast questions channel. We tend to look there first, again, as a way of saying thank you for helping us keep the lights on. But the first question does come from 6K. I have a point of interest I wouldn't mind seeing discussed. Dragonflight as a whole, to me, seems to be one of the more polished and connected expansions I feel like I've played in WoW. I was wondering if a big part of this was because they dropped the faction conflict as a whole for this expansion. Now, instead of making an expansion for two sides, doubling the effort in some ways, they were able to focus on making an expansion for a single player experience. Do you prefer this, or do you miss the days of seeing a duality in certain questlines and stories? I'll start, I guess. There's value in both, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with having conflict. And Matt and I have talked about this on Lore Watch a lot, right? There, conflict can breed good story. It can lead to good, interesting storytelling. However, the problem with the faction divide is it got stale, right? We were revisiting the same thing that happened when we first started playing World of Warcraft. We were revisiting the same thing that we were doing towards the, you know, in Cataclysm and in Mist of Pandaria and Battle for Azeroth, while still trying to have a cohesive story. I think Dragonflight benefits from having that focused effort of, you can still do different things. Like, you could still have quests that like Horde can do, and you can still have ones that, you know, Alliance can do, or they have different results, or they have different dialogue options based off of that. But ultimately, like, Dragonflight is an experience where we're learning about something bigger than us, and eliminating the conflict allows us to focus on that and focus on that story. And I do agree. I think that the quality and polish, while all the expansions that we've played up to this point have had their merits, and we can argue which one is the best, they just continue to get better as they continue to, you know, polish things and work on things and make them more accessible and expand the offerings of what we can do during endgame. Like, they're doing something, or at least trying to make it better every pass, and Dragonflight benefits from that quite well. And I do think the focus does have a good merit to it for why that's the case. Liz, what do you think?
I think one thing that Blizzard has struggled with when they've done narratives that hit two sides that are different for each side of the faction, is that sometimes the factions get a drastically different experience, which is not necessarily a positive one for the story. And, Battle for Azeroth is like the example of this. Because we did have really great narratives for both sides. They were really strong narratives. But you went into the first raid for Battle for Azeroth, which I'm going to say wrong because it was Uldir or Ulduar or Ul something. Uldir. It was one of those.
Uldir. You're right.
Uldir. I got it right the first time.
Okay. You did.
And it's like the Horde have a whole lead up into Uldir about why they're going there and they're fighting off these blood trolls and they have this whole storyline leading them to Gahoon and they have a reason to be there. This is in their territory. This is a problem they have been dealing with. And they go into this, they go into the raid because of it. The reasons they go are obvious. What's going on in the raid is obvious. And dude, an alliance, it's just like, well, okay, we're here. Hi.
Yeah.
I guess this is a raid entrance.
There's a very short quest if you've done like the campaign to like invade various Horde places. But it's not, it's not fleshed out. It's barely.
Yeah,
there.
It's, and you get a similar thing for the, oh my gosh, what's the three boss raid, the two or three boss raid in Battle of
Crucible of Storms?
Yeah, that's it.
Crucible of Storms is a small raid in Alliance territory, and the Alliance have a whole quest chain about what's going on here, what's going on with the Tide Speakers, why are we going here? And the Horde is just like, oh, I read the patch notes and there's a new raid today, so we're going to go there. And so sometimes you get things that feel just weird, like there's a reason for us to be here, but there's not any reason for you to be here. So, but well, we've got two factions here, so you got to go come here too. It's just sometimes it makes for awkward storytelling. And Blizzard,
it's weird.
Blizzard too. Hasn't. Yeah, go.
I'm just gonna say it's weird too because in the same expansion, they also did the battle for Dazar'alore.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And oh wow. They did a good job on that one, despite the fact that it was two different experiences. It was like
that was
the Horde are defending it, and the Alliance are attacking it. And
I think that raid is some of the most astoundingly good storytelling Blizzard has ever done anywhere, bar none.
And they did it despite the fact that they were telling two different stories with it. And here's the thing. I don't think faction difference or even faction conflict are bad. Joe and I have talked about it. Yeah, you heard is what he said. I agree with all of that. I don't even think it's bad to have different quests for different factions. Like, vanilla World of Warcraft, whatever you want to call it, had completely different quest lines for the Horde and the Alliance. And it worked fine. The problem is, when you're basically deciding, okay, how much time do we have to make this expansion? Because they're trying to make it every other year, right? And if you're trying to make it every other year, it becomes exponentially harder to design completely different quests for both factions. It's just a lot of work. And I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm not saying that they won't ever do it again. I'm just saying you have to think about that. One of the reasons I think Dragonflight feels so polished and Shadowlands feels a little odd and out of place is that Shadowlands feels an awful lot like the expansion, the equivalent of laying ground for the future.
Yes, it was the setup. We talked about that before. Like it was planting seeds for future storylines to sort of come back to or jump off from or quite literally be born from. Right.
And it also kind of had to be the expansion after the big we hate each other. You know, what was it like? Was it like, I hate you. I never want to see you again. And now it's like, okay, we're both going to be here. We're just going to kind of side eye at each other and we're not going to draw attention to each other. We're not going to like really address the fact that we're, you know, that you're over there and we're over here. Except, of course, that I'm still going to have to talk to Thrall and get quests from him and so forth. And you're still going to have to talk to Jaina, who at one point wanted to literally destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's awkward. And so I feel like because Dragonflight had that space, like the narrative, like 3-year jump. And because, you know, the mission of Dragonflight is much less involved with these big names of our various factions. And instead it's big names of people who were never in either faction or like Khadgar kind of forget that they were ever in one of the factions.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Khadgar's a neutral agent at this point.
Oh yeah, totally. And I'm fine with that. I'm just saying that because the characters aren't those characters, you know, Alex Straza never once showed up and said, burn the Horde. So I don't feel there are certainly some storytelling problems to be drawn out of various character stories here. I'm looking right at Quest where Alex Straza is like, yeah, sure, go ahead and make bad things happen to me again. That was necessary, and it's good that you preserved the timeline.
They've changed that quest.
Yes, they did. They did. But that's my example of where there is still stumbling ground. But I mean, for that matter, you know, we saw that. I think Joe's right on the money too. He says, you know, we have seen this before. Like, Missa Pandaria pretty much should have handled this.
Yeah.
To the point where we went back to Orgrimmar again at the end of Battle for Azeroth, and kind of we're like, this time we're not going to do a whole raid. We're just going to like have a cinematic that explains what's going on. And it was a fine cinematic. I don't think I've complained about a Blizzard cinematic in years at this point. But it still felt odd that suddenly, okay, so now we're all on board with going to Nyalotha. I'm like, wait a minute. this was like the worst segue I've ever seen. Like, okay, sure. Sorry you're dead. Although you really wanted to be dead, Sorfang, so congratulations, I guess, on if having gotten that to happen for you. Sure, yeah. Just no bond out, Sylvanas, so we can go fight a tentacle monster. Anyway, so I feel like, yes, there is certainly something to be said for having a monofocus where you don't have to worry about other factions. But I also think that in the future, we are going to see quests that are just for specific factions
again. And that's fine, right? Like, yes, that's absolutely fine. But I think that answers that, so I think we should probably move on and keep pace. Our next one comes from KTS Stories. Do we know if the season rebirth system from Diablo 3 is in Diablo 4? I haven't seen anything on it, but with the limited character slots, I'm wondering if it kind of has to be, because I feel like people will be full up not too many seasons in. I'll turn this over to you guys for your thoughts first.
We have not heard anything about this. Diablo has not said whether there's going to be a seasonal rebirth system. And while we do know a fair amount about how seasons are going to work, we don't know a lot of the nitty gritty details like that. And they've even been kind of waffling on how seasons themselves are going to work. Like,
originally,
I think they weren't going to, that you weren't going to have any renown stuff carry over. I think that was the original idea. None of your renowned stuff. You'd have to regrind it from scratch. And now it's your Shrines of Lilith and your discoveries will carry over to your seasonal characters if you ground them out on your main characters. I kind of feel like maybe they haven't entirely decided yet, or at least they aren't certain enough to make a big announcement about it.
The situation feels fluid.
Plus, it does.
I'm not even certain if seasonal characters are going to be on the same server, because they made a point of Eternal Realm characters.
Yeah, and like right now, all of us are playing on the Eternal Realm. That's just...
Yeah,
that's how it is.
A specific point of like mentioning that those characters were not going to be affected by the season. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. So characters, like our seasonal characters, going to be on a different server? Is there a seasonal server? I'm not saying there shouldn't be. I'm just saying, is that the case? Could you guys tell us what's going on, please? I have a lot of decisions to make if I can't, if I'm not going to have room for enough characters, I need to know. So that's my take on it.
I kind of think we're going to figure it out when they figure it out, because it does feel like they've already been changing things, because I think they're getting some reactions to this that they didn't expect.
Yeah.
They're kind of going into this like a traditional sort of Diablo way, which would be seasons, you roll a new character, you race to the top. But Diablo 4 is a very different game than Diablo 3 or Diablo 2, where it was kind of a race on the leaderboards.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing, because like if you've spent any time on the internet, you know that seasons right now are a pretty hot debate, because there's people that are playing Diablo and this is their first Diablo game, and they're playing it because it's got a more MMOE type feel. It's got a little more interaction with multiple players. It feels less barren than the other Diablo games, because by the virtue of how it's set up, you're going to run into other players. It is impossible to never see another player. Because there is no offline mode. There's no, it's only if your friends pop into your game lobby or things like that. So they have to sort of account for those new players and those people that are experiencing it for the first time. And there's a lot of people who have their experience is colored by MMOs, like, you know, World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy 14, where some of the stuff they're saying is really not resonating with that group of people, like stories. I think at one point they were talking about like the seasonal story elements were not going to come to Eternal Realms. So you had...
I think that's still the line.
Yeah, they haven't changed that.
Which, they have not... Yeah.
Which to me feels like a weird line with everything else that's going on. Like, I can understand a rebirth or like not having any of your renown, not having any of your statues of Lilith or anything of that stuff. I can understand that, but the story stuff feels like one of the big draws for Diablo 4. So you'd want as many people to experience that. And I know that's like a hot debate because some people are like, this is just Diablo seasons, get over it. And other people are like, but I want to experience that. But I want to experience it with this character that I've bonded with because I've imprinted on this, you know, druid or barbarian or necromancer. And I don't want to roll another druid or barbarian or necromancer because I've put all this time into it. Because that's what MMO players, a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. They have a main, right? They don't. Yes. So it's going to be interesting.
Some of us have four barbarians on their account right now. and others of us don't. And I understand that. It is certainly something that I get.
I have two necromancers and a druid. So. I guess I'm behind. I'm falling behind here.
But I mean, we'll see how it evolves. It's probably going to shift continually until it actually releases. Then once it actually releases, we'll know. Anything you guys want to add to that before we move on to the next one?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. This one comes from Roxy. It's Roxy here with a silly lore question regarding this week's FX Incorporeal. Incorporeal spawns one or two phantom mobs every once in a while when you're in combat that cast a massive debuff on a long timer. They are immune to damage and can be interrupted, but they are coded as every mob type as the intention is to use hard CC on them. Originally, DKs and warriors have no answer to this, but this week it's been hotfixed. DKs can now control undead them. Warriors, on the other hand, have no traditional CC and instead can remove an incorporeal mob by casting Shattering Throw on it. Please come up with your best explanation as to how this would work lore-wise. It's mostly because I want Rossi to come up with something silly and crazy for Shattering Throw.
I have cats, which are very similar to ghosts in many ways. If one of my cats, let's say Sasquatch, has decided he's going to eat the cat of our sick food, our sick cat, Puck, I will often spray him with a squirt gun or toss a beanbag at him and go, hey, knock it off. That's what we're doing. We're throwing an axe at somebody and going, hey, stop with that. Just go back to being dead. And they're like, oh, right, yeah, sorry. Just go back to me. That's pretty much what you got going. It's the treat anything that's bothering you like it was an errant cat approach to dungeon running. Which, I mean, it's not the most natural to warriors because they don't deal with cats very much, but I feel like most of them would pick it up. Like, think, replace cat with anything else they throw axes at to get it to stop. And that's a lot of things. Like, I mean, how many times have we been throwing axes at dragons to make their barriers shatter so we can tell them to stop casting that big destroying thing they're going to cast? This expansion, Razageth. I threw so many axes at Razageth to get that barrier to go down so we could stop her from doing whatever the heck it was she was doing. So yeah, no, it's that approach.
I mean, I'm here for it. I'm here for warriors just yelling some loud obscenity and throwing an axe at a ghost. The ghost going, oh, well, I'm sorry. My bad. I shouldn't be here anymore. See you later. And just disappearing back into the aether, because that makes as much sense as, you know, me throwing a lightning totem and then somehow that affects the ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, This goes back to how warriors need their own battle res, where they yell at someone until they get up and start fighting again.
All I can think of is the Carbot's depiction of barbarians, where it's like, rawr, 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 like different tones, like trying to get like, and it's literally for everything. It's how they heal. It's how they deal damage. It's how they find magic items. That's how I envision warriors in WoW sometimes. It's just different types of shouts. Yelling at your blood to get back in your body, yelling at your soul to get back in your body. That makes perfect sense. Like, I'm on board with this.
I remember a long time ago, way back, I think vanilla, when for some reason warriors had more intelligence than people expected them to have because you were there. And someone was like, why do you need that? And I was like, because there's this big book called The Big Book of Taunts that I have to read every day so I know when a dragon shows up what to say to him to make him attack me and not you. Because dragons are really smart and you're doing all the healing. So why is it hitting me in the face and not you? Because I am saying some truly vulgar things in dragon. It turns out that Mrothakazolta is incredibly obscene and will anger them like you don't believe. And what I'm saying is you have small claws. They don't like that. They will immediately be, I'll show you my small claws. You know, so yeah, that's you know, something that would make sense to me. That literally you're just going, blood, get back into my body. I'm not done with you yet. Okay. Wow, he's mad.
I mean, can't you heal yourself with frenzied regeneration already? Like, don't you have something? You spend anger to make yourself better? Like,
a Fury Warrior using Bloodthirst is literally healing with every strike. It's not a big heal, but it's still a heal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I guess I'm, like, you know, absorbing your blood or whoever I'm hitting's blood. Like, you know, okay, I'll just replace my blood with your blood. That's fine. Well, that's how we'll do it. Like, how are you doing that?
Don't ask questions. Just embrace. Just embrace.
He's so angry, he's able to force the blood into his own capillaries. I don't know.
It's the power of your own rage and inner fury. You can do so much with it. You can do so much.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know if we have anything else to add to that, because I just want warriors to be able to do everything. Like, I really do want a warrior.
By yelling.
I want a warrior healing class that's just different yells. I want that.
Oh, yeah, I've always wanted that. That'd be great. Get up! You get up! You feel better! You reattach your arm. Okay.
It reminds me of controllers from City of Heroes, right? Like, they used various different, like, powers to air quote heal. Like, one of them was like, if your powers were psychic based, you weren't actually being healed. They just made you think you were better. And so you just got up and kept going. Like, that's the type of stuff that I see. Yeah, like,
someone actually get him a real doctor before his intestines fall out. That'd be great.
But for now, this will work. But yes, there you go. There's your warriors do shattering throw. All right. Anything else to add before we move on to the last one here?
Nope.
No.
All right. Hi. This one's from Korn. Thank you, Korn. I have many skulls for you. What would happen if the Burning Hells from Diablo invaded the Empire from Warhammer Fantasy Battles roleplay? Are the seven evils worse than chaos? That is a really complicated question.
Yeah, that'd be an entire episode of Lore Watch.
But I'm actually going to give the edge to chaos, because those are some weird, crazy MFs. I've read the Diablo books, and they're bad. They're very bad. But they're also almost reasonable in some capacity. Like, we literally just talked about this on Lore Watch. You should listen to Lore Watch. You can make a deal with a primeval and not necessarily be completely boned.
At least not immediately.
Here's chaos. Chaos in Warhammer Universe. Here's Papa Nurgle. Papa Nurgle loves you. Grandfather Nurgle loves you. He's going to give you his warm embrace. That warm embrace is going to turn you into essentially sentient fungus inside of armor. I hope that's what you wanted, but he does love you. Like, it all comes at, like, an extreme cost. They also feed off of all emotion, because they're from the Immaterium, and it's this weird thing where, like, all sentient beings feed into the Immaterium warp, and so, like, they can be literally anything, and their power is, I don't want to say limitless, because it's really, but it's just, they're everywhere.
I'm gonna try and give people an understanding who don't know Warhammer, but who might have read Michael Moorcock. I want you to think of chaos from Warhammer as, like, the Chaos Lords from Moorcock, if you gave them meta-amphetamines at every moment.
Yeah.
Like just continuously popping speed. Because it's like, take that kind of raw, we like chaos, and we'll go along with anything as long as it's chaotic enough, and then just make them, like, screaming down the highway at 5,000 mph with, like, rockets strapped to the back of a go-kart. Like, they there's no... Like, the Burning Hells, they have a plan. Chaos has no plans.
Well, no, they have plans, but there's multiple different plans. Or, like, one of them, their entire plan is, I want to sense everything. That's it. That's its entire plan. Doesn't matter what it is. It is, followers of it just want to sense things. Korn, I mean, not to call you out here, I really appreciate the work you do. Thank you. You're all about sort of the fighting and the blood and the guts and the viscera of the universe. You know, the only thing that makes you better, like, happier than having your berserkers go out there is watching orcs fight, because that's the only thing that fights fightier than berserkers. Like, there is a plan, but the plans themselves are at odds with each other, and they're so completely out from left field. there is no rhyme or reason, and you can't really negotiate. There is no conversation to be had with them. And
now, in terms of the Burning Hells actually invading the Empire, I don't know that the Empire would immediately know what to do about it.
True.
Because the Empire would be prepared for chaos things,
mm-hmm.
or enemies like orcs or what have you. Having a bunch of demons that actually strategize show up would be a change. But I don't think they'd be that much on the back foot either, because they're used to fighting all sorts of stuff. I definitely think that there would be losses, but I don't think that the Empire is going to fall over it.
I'd love to see the forces of the Hells go against the Chromatic College of Wizards. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Warhammer is a wonderful love of mine, and I could really do an entire episode entirely about that. And but I don't know if there's anything else to add to that yet. Although one day maybe we'll have a game that we play in which the Burning Hells invade the Warhammer Fantasy mm-hmm. Battles universe. Because I do have those books, both of them. All right. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's good. And I think Liz doesn't know or care much about Warhammer, so I don't think she'll have much.
My knowledge here is zero, much like my knowledge of Warcraft lore.
Eh.
I think you know more about Warcraft lore just because you've done the raid, so you at least recognize.
Okay, that's fair. I do know more about Warcraft lore than I know about Warhammer lore. That is a fact.
Fair. All right, but I guess I'm going to do the thing then, unless there's anything you want to add before that, Matt?
Sure. I guess you could tell me to do it, but I don't know it.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I can recite Wing this it. In my sleep, and sometimes I do. Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast with a queue. And an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. And thank you to Liz as well for helping catch things I missed earlier. And just generally both for you for being here. This is, again, been the Blizzard Watch podcast. If you've got a question for the show, you can send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. Joe, go into that folder because there's like 7 Lore Watch questions
are about the album 4 in there. Oh, I'm aware. Trust me, I'm aware. I've already started planning this week's episode's questions list as a result of it. So if you have more out there, keep sending them in.
But you can also go to our Discord server, and that's where I got today's questions, except for the one from Korn, because Korn just DMs them too. Which is,
I find it weird that Korn DMs you. Like, yeah. I feel like I haven't earned the God of Destruction's view yet. What do I have to do, Korn? Tell me what I have to do.
I think it's more that Korn likes to make me upset. I'm really uncomfortable that this thing is calling me and not Joe. Just call Joe. But if you want to use our Discord, we've got 2 channels there. There's the patron Q and podcast questions channel for our patrons, because you guys rock and keep us going. And for you who cannot be our patrons, we totally understand. Heart life is tough. Things are going really weird right now. So there's the non-patron, just Q and podcast questions channel where you can ask us questions. That's where I got Roxy's questions. So, that use that one too. That's how you can contact us and tell us, what you want us to talk about, and you ask us questions and all that good stuff. But this has been the Blizzard Watch Podcast. Thank you all so much for being here with us, and we will see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.